Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this first day of March, and we have one of our favorite guests. And I have a feeling we're going to have a long-term on-air relationship with Brian Fagan, who's been described as perhaps our foremost living archaeological writer. He consistently talks about subjects that you didn't know were interesting, and all of a sudden they're so compelling it's all you want to read about. We last spoke with him when I think it was right at the beginning of February, when there was this amazing discovery very close to Stonehenge. It's an ancient settlement that once housed hundreds of people, possibly the builders of Stonehenge, a remarkable, remarkable discovery. And Brian was with us to talk about that. Did you know that there's also a place which he calls the Stonehenge of North America? And we'll talk about that and a number of different stories with Brian. And he's the author of all kinds of books, including From Stonehenge to Samarkand, an anthology of archaeological travel writing, which is our thank you gift to you this hour. You can just sit and go all over the world reading this book. He writes beautifully. He is a terribly engaging guy, and it's $180 level. So please call with your pledge this hour. We want to make a lot of money. Because we're in a pledge drive, of course. 800-383-9772. Rhonda Fanning, producer of the program, is with us. I love this guy. You did too. And so did the audience. He's just terrific.
It was a lot of fun when he joined us. I think February 1, actually, was the day he was with us. And we had so much fun that we wanted to have him back during pledge, and we wanted to give away copies of his book. So a pledge this hour of $180 is going to get you that book, 800-383-9772. And I also have some exciting news.
Exciting
news. I'd be happy to share with you. We have a goal this hour of raising $6,000. And if we do that, Schwartz Bookstore has been gracious enough to give us a challenge grant.
Great.
Thank you, extra Schwartz. $500 if we make our $6,000 goal this hour. So give us a call. $180 is going to get you a copy of the book. Please call 800-383-9772 or log on WPR.org.
800-383-9772, and you'll receive Brian's book. For those of you who are snowed in today, and many of you are in various listening areas of our state, you're going to really enjoy this book. Just think about taking trips to Stonehenge, to New Mexico, to Egypt, all over the world, to Africa, places where Brian has worked. And he also includes stories about people like Mark Twain who went to these parts of the world as well. So it used to be individual travelers. So it's the wonders of the ancient world, and also thoughts about those wonders from people who had creative minds and were terrific writers. So that's our thank you to you this hour. But gee, you're quiet, and I can't imagine why on this one, because this is a terrific book.
Well, wait until Brian gets on. Right.
All right. 800-383-9772 or WPR.org. $180 pledge, and we'll be so happy to send you this book. You will just be happy that you got it. Thanks, Rhonda. We'll talk to you a little bit later. And Brian Fagan is with us now again. We've been itching to have him on the air again since the last time he was here talking about the remarkable new discovery just a little distance from Stonehenge, and of course tied into Stonehenge. Brian is a professor of anthropology at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He was born in England. He attended Cambridge University, concentrating on the study of Iron Age archaeology and anthropology. He, following his undergraduate training, moved to East and Central Africa, where he studied the African Iron Age. He held the positions of Keeper of Prehistory at the Livingstone Museum in Zambia, Director of the Bantu Studies Project at the British Institute of Nairobi. He then accepted a visiting faculty position at the University of Illinois and then went to Santa Barbara, where he became what he is now, Professor of Anthropology at the University of California. He has written some 30 books. He's done public television programs covering a wide range of archaeological topics. He's a member of the editorial board of the Cambridge Archaeological Journal. He has received the Distinguished Service Award from the Society of Professional Archaeologists and he's just won lots of awards for his work. And I think is considered perhaps our foremost living archaeological writer. Our number for you to join on air with our conversation with Brian is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hello again, Brian.
Hello, good morning.
We're so excited about you. We just want to take you along with us as we travel the world.
Well, I'm most flattered to be back. You really are, and I'm not saying it's because you're fundraising, one of the nicest public radio stations I've ever talked to.
Thank you, Brian.
And it's
nice
to be worth $180.
Oh, you're worth even more than that.
Oh, I appreciate that. But anyhow, it's lovely to be with you.
Thank you. Is there any news? We last spoke with this amazing discovery near Stonehenge. Is there anything new on that? It's kind of faded from the headlines.
Sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, Stonehenge, the last time we spoke with you.
My phone is fading. Hold on, I'm going to try a change of phones.
Okay.
This should do the trick.
All right, Brian can't hear me, and he's got to hear me to conduct the interview, so he's going to switch phones here. Let me also tell you that we are going to welcome your on-air phone calls, because I know that he's going to stir up a lot of questions. And maybe you've been to some of these sites that are in his book, so feel free to join our conversation on air today at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, or in Milwaukee, it's 227-2050. Are you there again, Brian?
I'm here. Sorry, we've got slight phone trouble here, but I think it's cured.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good. Okay. The last time we spoke with you was right after this incredible discovery near Stonehenge. Is there anything new on that? It's kind of faded from our newspapers, Brian.
No. I've been corresponding with various people who know about it, who are very excited. We won't hear a lot more until they do more research this summer. But everything I'm hearing is that it's absolutely wonderful and they're very excited. The good news is that I think I'm going to actually see the site in early October.
And what will you be looking for as somebody with your background? What do you want to see when you go there?
Well, actually, the reason I'm going is that I'm working with the World Monuments Fund to write an article on the controversies about what they're going to do about Stonehenge as a tourist attraction, which is a long, long controversy. What I'm hoping is that the people I'll be working with will take them and show me the site and really talk about it, so I'll learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, I don't know at this point.
Right. It'll be so exciting to see what develops from that amazing find.
Oh, this is such a major thing. It's so exciting.
Right. The book that we're offering as a thank you this hour is about the great wonders of antiquity. We have been interested in those for a long period of time, and some of the world's best writers and most creative people have been interested. Why? What is it about antiquity and these wonders of antiquity that captivates us, Brian?
Well, a lot of it is, I think, in the final analysis, is that we all wonder whether people who lived before us thought the same way we did. Mm. We do. And we kind of empathize with fellow humans. That's one thing. The other thing, which is very powerful, is the romance of the past, the notion that people built these extraordinary structures like Angkor Wat or the Parthenon, and we just want to marvel at them and share them with ourselves. And then there's just a whole marvelous sort of sense of discovery, which is something I think we're beginning to lose, where, for example, imagine being a traveler going to 19th century Greece and seeing the Parthenon. I mean, it was a real adventure in those days.
Right. Yeah. In the book, you write about people who have taken some of these journeys. I believe one of the early ones is Herodotus, who describes the construction of Babylon.
Yes.
Talk more about that.
Well, of course, the other thing you have to realize about these folk, people like Herodotus, is they were very much closer to the era when these places were occupied and built. They probably saw a lot more than we did. And the other thing is, of course, they also had access to sources, written sources that are now lost.
Mm.
And although we don't know what those sources were, his description is pretty fanciful. And, of course, a lot of this is magic and tending to magnify things, but he describes citadels and walls and the site of the city on either side of the river in pretty extravagant terms. I don't think it's that reliable, but it's certainly vivid.
Uh-huh. Mark Twain in Egypt.
Oh, Mark Twain in Egypt. He had a great time, and he described cynically how the Egyptians would burn up mummies and use them as fuel for their locomotives. You know, it's lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was Gustave Flaubert, who had a very, I suppose, pornographic visit to Egypt. He went to brothels and goodness knows what, but they both described the wonderment of ancient Egypt.
Yeah. What about, and you include some of these, were there a lot of people who had motives of trying to take some of the great relics from these historic spots and sell them?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
This was, you get this very curious compulsion, and it still goes on to this day, where you get people who say, hear about ancient Egypt, and instead of going and seeing it, they want to own a bit of it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Back in the late 18th and early 19th century, there was an absolute mania to own Egyptian mummies and then to have public unveiling of them. You unwrap them in front of an enthusiastic crowd. And this
Ooh.
Was an expensive, rather sort of macabre sort of party, but very, very fashionable. And in the early 19th century, a lot of people who went to Egypt came back with big collections of Egyptian antiquities, many of which, of course, adorn the museums of the world, and some of which, regrettably, are in fact forgeries and good ones.
Oh, my.
And what? There's this wonderful Victorian traveler, Amelia Edwards, who was one of these gushy, romantic Victorian novelists. She wrote well, mush, who traveled to Egypt in the 1870s. And when she was in Luxor, she describes how, by accident, one of her guides took her into a workshop where there were people actually forging antiquities.
Oh.
And the way they made them look old was to feed them through the digestive tracts of turkeys.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was a major industry, and, well, it still is. And really, there's nothing new under the sun as far as tourists are concerned. We're just as gullible as we used to be. The big difference with Egypt, for example, is that people were much more leisurely then. I mean, she went from Cairo up to Abu Simbel in Sudan, in Upper Egypt, and she took 2 months,
huh.
Which is the way to do things. They'd stop and spend 4 or 5 days just sketching, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, right. Why would anybody, I can't imagine carrying a mummy home with you. Why did it become fashionable to display mummies? What was that saying about us?
Well, they were colorful.
Oh, sure.
They were exotic. The great thing is...
But they're dead.
There's this huge taste for exotic things.
Hmm.
And sometimes you go on tour. If you go, for example, on some of the more exclusive round-the-world tours you can do these days, where they take you to see indigenous peoples, you'll be able to buy artifacts made by them in the traditional style, and people buy them up because it's exotic to have one on your wall.
Mm.
And the same applied to mummies, the same applies to all sorts of things, Chinese porcelain, whatever you like. Mm. And in those days, of course, when communication was much harder, there was a lot more cachet in owning something exotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I was reading an article in the L.A. Times only yesterday about, in a home section, about a couple whose house is adorned with trophies from their travels, and you saw these tourists' masks and things in the pictures, you know.
Hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah. What do you make, just a story that's been in the news a bit the last week, and I'm wondering if it's a hoax or how you determine something is a hoax. We all want to believe, and it's the story of the last couple centuries, this discovery of the tomb of Jesus. Is, get him going on that. I asked the right question.
You won't get me going on that. Okay. I really, to be perfectly honest, don't know much about it. When I tell you that for the last 4 or 5 days, I have been buried in medieval Europe and my taxes, you will understand. But seriously, I don't know. I don't know anything about this at all. I personally would regard anything like this with profound suspicion, because the questions they have to answer is, how do they identify the person?
Mm-hmm.
What are the medical evidence? And so on. And all I've seen is a brief account in a weekly magazine. I haven't heard any details, but I am extremely suspicious, given all the hoo-ha that's been over those papers from the Vatican, you know, the guy who wrote about that. I forget.
Right.
Oh, the Da Vinci Code.
Right, right.
I'm very suspicious.
Yeah.
I would take it with a grain of salt. I think most biblical archaeologists would take it with an even bigger grain of salt.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't be more specific.
No, I appreciate your answer. Are there a lot of instances like that of people saying that they've discovered something that could have worldwide impact, the answer to questions of things we've thought about for centuries, and they can pull the wool over our eyes fairly easily? Do Do a lot of people play into that, Brian?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Oh, yes. The most classic one, of course, is, in recent years, is this guy, Eric Van Daniken, who claims that ancient astronauts built the Nazca Lines in Peru, that they founded or helped found Maya civilization and so on.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no scientific basis whatsoever for it. But he wrote pervasive, simple stories with adventure in them that people love, and he sold millions of books.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy, Graham Hancock, who's written, and my goodness me, can he write beautifully, stories about the pyramids and the Sphinx and submerged civilizations under Antarctica, which are, of course, very conveniently inaccessible because of the ice. What global warming will do to that is another story. But they write these fantasies, and they are fantasies. They claim their science. They call scientists fuddy-duddies. And it's a phenomenon that's as old as travel and archaeology itself.
Yes.
Great mysteries.
How did you find archaeology? You told us this story before, but I'd love to hear it again, because you're so enthusiastic about it, and make us enthusiastic as well.
Say again?
How did you find your field?
Oh, a number of things. The most important was a lecturer I had at university. My first lecturer at Cambridge University was an older gentleman who'd been lecturing at Cambridge since 1921. This was 1956. And he had never changed his lectures. And he'd spent his early career in France working on the cave paintings with a man called Henri Breuil, who was a priest, who spent months copying paintings with an acetylene light, not with electric. And he had these wonderful old slides in black and white of life before World War I. And his greatest qualities were a very quiet sense of humor and a wonderful ability to tell stories. And I vividly remember my first lecture at Cambridge. I was really nervous. We all were. And this man in one of these English three-piece suits, which is so heavy that if you got out of it, it stands up. You know, the very thick one you'd need it in Wisconsin today. Came in, tottered in. He was a slow-moving man, leant in front of the blackboard, looked at us with a look of complete disillusionment for about 30 seconds, and then said in his slightly falsetto voice, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I expect you think this is a complete waste of time. Ladies and gentlemen, you are probably correct." And, of course, he had us in his hands at that point. He spent 2 minutes telling us how to get through the university without doing any work. But he did, and then started talking. And he was an absolutely electric storyteller. And he made artifacts and all that come alive. And occasionally he would put in a faintly scandalous story about somebody, a distinguished archaeologist. And he would tell you this outrageous story. And then he would stop and said, "Well, I can tell you this now. He's dead, you know." It was lovely. I mean, he hooked me forever. And then I was very lucky and by chance got a job when I was still at Cambridge, actually, working in Africa, and went from there. Yeah. And I've been in it ever since.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm glad you are. Brian Fagan, our guest, described as perhaps our foremost living archaeological writer. He's with us to talk about Stonehenge, to talk about, to talk about the great wonders of antiquity, which are found in his book, which is a thank you gift for those of you who would love to pledge this hour. I know he was wildly popular when we spoke with him on February 1st after those remarkable discoveries very close to Stonehenge, and he's going to be going there to figure out how this should be best displayed to the public. He'll be there soon, and he's from England, too, so this is near and dear to his heart. His book for $180 pledge only this hour. I mean, how can you not be enthused about archaeology, about these sites after listening to him? The book is From Stonehenge to Samarkand, an anthology of archaeological travel writing, and it goes really all over the world. And our phone number is 800-486-8655. He looks at Babylon, the pyramids. He looks at Stonehenge. He looks at, all kinds of places. The Parthenon, Napoleon's donkeys are in here, Palmyra, Chaco Canyon, which he talks about as the Stonehenge of America. I'll ask him about that in just a moment. So that's the pledge premium. So would you pledge at that? I think you're going to love reading this. You can read a chapter a day on this and go all over the world, in case you can't go all over the world on your own. So the pledge number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772. If you'd like to join us on air, we'd love to have you join us at 800-486-8655. Pick a great wonder of antiquity. Brian knows about it, and we'll be happy to speak with you. 800-486-8655, 227-2050, if you're joining us in the Milwaukee area. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So Brian Fagan is our guest. He is the author of all kinds of books, but the premium this hour for you for $180 pledge is in Anthology of Archaeological Travel Writing from Stonehenge to Samarkand. If you'd like to join us on air, please call 800-486-8655. Let's talk just a moment before we go to phone calls, Brian, about Chaco Canyon, New Mexico. You call this the Stonehenge of North America. Why?
Chaco Canyon is truly one of the most fascinating places, not only in North America, but in the world. And it is surprisingly little visited.
Huh.
It's a canyon in the San Juan Basin, northwest of Albuquerque, and it's very easily accessible except for a 20-mile drive on a gravel road, but that won't kill anybody, least of all from Wisconsin. And in this canyon are a series of large, abandoned, ancestral Pueblo towns known in the profession as great houses. The most famous of these is Pueblo Bonito, and these are multi-story, almost like apartment buildings. Often on a semicircle, within the middle of them are these huge subterranean kivas.
Hmm.
Then there were isolated kivas and villages and spectacular cliffs, and it with a dry, coarse river flowing through the middle. This truly is an incredibly evocative place and in a remarkable state of preservation. And you can wander through the rooms of some of these pueblos, which are almost as if they were used yesterday, and the place is nearly 1,000 years old. And then about, I think it was 1140, it's too early in the morning, they were abandoned because of drought, among other things, and the people dispersed. This is truly one of the most spectacular archaeological sites in North America and anywhere, and anyone who is near should go and look at it, because really you get close to the people and the environment there in a way that is very unique.
Right. Let's go to some phone calls. William from Sun Prairie, hi.
Hi. I've got a number of your books, Dr. Fagan, and you write very beautifully.
Thank you.
I had the pleasure of going to Estonia back in the 80s when it was just starting to open up. And I met an old gentleman, finally began to trust me, and he took me out into the woods and showed me a circles of stone. And I said, does anybody know about this? He says, oh, no, we wouldn't tell anybody. You know, the Russians would take everything away from here. So anyway, my question is this. Is there a possibility that the Great Pyramid may have been built by a people who spoke a Finno-Ugric tongue? The reason why I ask that is because pyramid in Finno-Ugric, pyra, wheel, meet the measure.
Right.
Well, is the answer to that question. There is, unfortunately, there is absolutely irrefutable evidence that the pyramids have their origin in much earlier burial customs in Egypt, which go back to before 3000 BC. And there is every sign that they were built by indigenous Egyptians whose ancestry lies thousands of years back in the Nile. Alas, I cannot support your theory.
Gary from Glendale. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning to the professor.
Good morning.
Several years ago, we visited America's Stonehenge in New Hampshire.
Ah.
And I was wondering if you are familiar with that site and know anything about it.
I've never been there. Is it an archaeological site?
Yes, indeed. And it is stone laid out very much like the Stonehenge in England, but it's they're smaller blocks of stone.
Where is this, Gary? I've never heard of it.
It's in southern New Hampshire.
Huh.
It's on the tourist maps. We just happened onto it while visiting New England about going on 8 years ago.
Huh.
And it's quite remarkable in the way that the stones are laid out, very much like the one in southern England, in Sussex, I believe, right?
There was no connection. I can tell you that much. I am not personally familiar with it. I do apologize. I vaguely heard of it. My sense is that it's something fairly modern, but I'm just talking right out of turn here.
Well, the site does sort of date the stones back at least a millennium.
Yes, and they might well be. I don't know. I just don't know enough about the area to be able to help you. I'm terribly sorry.
Mm-hmm. And I'm only going by memory now. The brochures are piled away somewhere.
But yeah, I'm
none
sure.
of us are getting any younger.
Yeah, thanks, Gary, for the call.
I know what you mean, but I'm sorry I can't help you.
Yeah, but I would imagine you'll investigate it now too, right? I would think, Brent. Thanks. For, I would imagine that you will know more about it by the end of this day.
I shall go and have a look if I have a chance.
Right. Bill from
my taxes are calling today, too.
Ah, skip it. You can always do those tomorrow, huh? Bill from Menasha. Hi.
Hi. Very pleased to talk to you, Professor Fagan. What I'm calling about is, why do you think it is that we have magnificent sites within a day's drive of anywhere in Wisconsin, including Aztalan and Cahokia, that nobody seems to know about, really? That they're not taught in schools. None of the beauty and the magnificence of these sites is ever conferred to the children.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point, and I was thinking about that when you were talking about Chaco Canyon and saying that it's a little visited place. You would think that we would be enormously interested in some of these ancient wonders.
It's really a question that fascinates a lot of people. I think, at the risk of being somewhat controversial, that the answer is very simple. It is the history of them, not of us. If you look at, for the sake of argument, Westminster Abbey, the Parthenon, Stonehenge, even the cave paintings at Lascaux, people say, that is our history. We have an ancestry that goes back that far. We are, for better or worse, a country of immigrants. And very few of us have any identity or sharing identity with Native American culture, customs, which are very different to ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one reason. The second reason is the extraordinary myopia of people who develop history curricula who believe that everything begins when Christopher Columbus crossed the ocean blue, the Norse came across the Atlantic, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
When in fact, Native American history goes back 15,000 years and is extraordinarily fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't on a lot of people's radar because, to some degree, they're afraid of other cultures. To some degree, they just don't know about it. And to other degree, they're a bit apprehensive about engaging with Native Americans. And their culture, which is very diverse, it deserves enormous respect. And Chaco, and indeed Cahokia, which isn't quite as spectacular to look at, are both places of the highest archaeological quality, if that's the right word. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're spectacular places.
Mm.
And you're right, within a day's drive of where you are, there's an incredible amount of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and lovely stuff,
mm-hmm.
and beautiful country, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for your call. We go next to Jordan from Menominee Falls. Hi, Jordan.
Hi. You know, fascinating show, I just want to say, by the way. I had a question. I understand it's going to be a little bit out of this world, but I was curious to ask whether or not the guest has any information regarding Cydonia Mars, the area on Mars around which there is alleged to be a structure that resembles a human face and pyramids around that area. I was just curious if you knew anything about that and had any information.
I know nothing about Mars. I've got enough to do on Earth.
You have a hard time getting there, right?
But seriously, this sort of thing, it's exactly like we were talking earlier. It's predictable. You just get some stone that looks like the portrait of George Washington or an Egyptian pyramid, and boy, there are people out there saying, there was a pyramid on Mars, look at it, this, that, and the other. And nothing that I will say to them, I'm sure this gentleman here doesn't share this view, but nothing will ever convince them that it isn't a pyramid. You're talking about almost a statement of faith, you know. There is, if States, there's no evidence whatsoever that any humans or anyone like that lived on Mars, to my knowledge. But an interesting question.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. Our phone number for on air, we have time to take some more of your calls, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you'd like to pledge for the $180 level, we're very happy to send you, as a thank you, a book that will be with you for a long period of time. It's Brian's. Brian's written a ton of books, but this one is From Stonehenge to Samarkand, an anthology of archaeological travel writing, which includes observations on Egypt by Mark Twain. Herodotus is in here, and a number of other people who have done writing a long time ago and more recent writing as well. So he takes you on this armchair tour of all these fascinating archaeological sites. 800-486-8655 is our number for you to join us on air. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Brian Fagan is our guest, and we're so happy to have him with us, considered our foremost living archaeological writer, and has written books on, well, tons and tons of books on famous sites all over the world. We're welcoming phone calls for him, and we go to Marty next from Douglas County. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to get back to Chaco Canyon and offer, I have a question about it, but I would also like to offer a reason perhaps why people just aren't interested in archaeological sites. When you go to Chaco Canyon, after you settle down, after that harrowing 40-mile drive on a washboard road, if you just get out of your car and walk over to the site and look around, and you don't see the whole site from one point, you have to either drive or walk quite a ways to see the whole thing. It's kind of boring looking. It's just a bunch of dry rocks, and they're kind of set here and there. And just on the surface of it, you could look at it and go, why are we here? This is just really boring. Let's go back and go swimming somewhere. But I was there 2 years ago in July when it was about 800 million degrees out, and it hits you immediately in that heat. Where did these people get water to live? Which is essentially my question to your guest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most amazing place for people to live to begin with. And just how did people survive there? As far as I can remember, I don't remember a river. There certainly aren't any lakes. This is northern New Mexico, for crying out loud. Where did the water come from? And what do you think of my idea that maybe just on the surface of it, these places just look kind of dull?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, Marty. The water, this is a very complex issue. The place was a slightly wetter than it is today when people lived there 1,000 years ago. There are springs and perennial water seeps from under the cliffs on the north side of the canyon, which provided some water. They took water from the wash, which goes through the canyon, and irrigated very carefully and stored water. They were absolute maestros at water conservation. And the population of the canyon was never more than about 2,000 people. And, of course, there was this very critical moment when drought came and drought lasted. And these people had a philosophy of movement, and they simply moved elsewhere to stay with relatives. And their protection was to have kin in outlying communities who might have food when they didn't, and vice versa. And there was a lot of fluidity there. Now, I agree with you. Chaco to go to look at is dull. One of the reasons is that the Park Service is extremely conservative about labeling, which I think is a pity. And this brings up a very interesting thing, because really the best way to enjoy an archaeological site like Chaco, and Chaco is very lucky because it's off the beaten track, is your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And really the best strategy to have is to read a bit beforehand and then to wander and let your mind go to work. For example, think of a afternoon in the summer when there were big black clouds mounting on the western horizon, and then the clouds mount and mount, and it's hot and very, very oppressive, and everybody's in the shade just wilting. Then suddenly, with a massive clamp of thunder, a veil of rain goes across the canyon and falls and deluges everything for about 10 minutes. And then as quickly the rain stops, and the ground starts steaming, and there's this wonderful smell of wet earth. That's the way you've got to think about the past.
Hmm.
And I vividly remember going to another site, forgive me, called Maiden Castle in England. It's an old 2,000-year-old fort attacked by the Romans. And a brilliant archaeologist about 60 years ago wrote an account of the battle where a Roman legion attacked and conquered Maiden Castle. And I remember going to the site, and it was a cloudy day, and shutting my eyes, and I could almost in my mind imagine the battle and the screams and the smoke and the yelling. And then suddenly the image vanished, the sun came out, and it was gone. And you really have to let your imagination go wild in these places. Otherwise, it is, as my wife put it when we went to Olympia in Greece, just another pile of asterisk blank rocks. And there's a lot to be said for this. It's very true, and a lot of archaeological sites are presented very unimaginatively, in my judgment.
Thanks, Marty, for calling.
That was a nice question, Marty. Thank
you. It was one beautiful answer, too. Brian, thank you so much for being with us. You are just a real treasure, and I hope that we'll be in touch with you a lot during the course of this year. To go on a trip with you would be heaven, huh?
Well, it's all part of the game. I'm going around the world doing a tour, actually, in April.
Are you really?
Yep.
All around the world.
Yeah, well, actually, only from Australia right round. I'm joining a big National Geographic tour there and lecturing on it.
Oh, how exciting. Do you have...
A lot of flying.
Yeah.
But it is a privilege to be with you, and I'm flattered to be worth $180.
And I keep saying you're worth a lot more than that.
Well, we
priced you low. Thanks, Brian. He was a real find. I don't know where Rhonda found him, but I love this guy. And he's written so much. You know, we had him on the day after that remarkable finding at Stonehenge, and it turns out that, you know, the guy is probably one of the foremost archaeologists in the world today. And I think he learned from that professor he had. Did you hear that story about the professor he had? Oh, those who teach us really can guide our lives. Well, he was fun. Now, I just want to tell you this, because this hour, for a thank you gift, he was a big hit the last time he was on. You're going to so enjoy his book. If you have any interest, and you do, of course, because you're public radio fans, in archaeological wonders, the great wonders of antiquity, Brian is a lovely writer as well. He is the author of From Stonehenge to Samarkand, an anthology of archaeological travel writing. $180, our thank you gift to you. If you pledge right now in the next 15 minutes at 800-383-9772. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our studios. Rita Thomas is as well. Let me start with you, Rhonda. Where did you find this guy? I love this guy. He makes me want to drop everything and take that round-the-world trip in April, doesn't he? But at least we have him on the radio.
Yeah, he was great. I saw that story, and I was looking for, you know, someone who would be a great fit to be on the show. I called him up, and he was charming and witty, and I said, you have to be on with Kathleen. And
yeah.
So that's that. So call now, 800-383-9772, because I think everyone is going to love this book.
Yes.
If you have any interest in anthropology, archaeology. Oh, and I have some exciting news, Kathleen.
Yes.
Before I get carried away
right
here. We have a challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore this hour. If we reach our goal of $6,000,
okay,
which is very obtainable, we got that $500 challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore. So call now. Plenty of time. $6,000. We can get there. We're about $5,700 short, but plenty of time. 800-383-9772.
Yes, call now. Why wait until later? Again, the number is 1-800-383-9772, or you can go to WPR.org. If you've never made a pledge before, today is the day to do so. It only takes a matter of minutes. We ask you some extremely brief questions, and it's up to you to decide how much you want to pledge and can afford to pledge to a station that means so much to you. Dial 1-800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org.
And we're hopeful that you'll be able to pledge at the $180 premium. For those of you who called in and we're talking about places like Chaco Canyon, or you've been to some of these places of antiquity, the great wonders of antiquity. I can remember just, you stand in a state of awe. I remember being at Stonehenge many years ago, and other places in Ireland as well, and just, you know, letting your imagination go with you to how people used to live. He takes you on that tour and also takes you to the minds of people like Mark Twain,
right,
who also took
voices,
those tours.
Right.
Yeah. 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. Only this hour, only the next 13 minutes, $180 pledge, and you can travel around the world with Brian Fagan. Woo!
Yeah, that sold me. But I think a caller mentioned something about Stonehenge in the USA, and I just wanted to let people know that you can find that at www.stonehengeusa.com. And
great.
It's,
oh, good.
Just north of Boston near Salem.
Oh, good. And, you found that out.
Yeah, it was built about 4,000 years ago, they're guessing roughly, and they're not sure by Native Americans or migrant European populations.
Oh.
But apparently still it's an accurate astronomical calendar. Ooh, I messed that up, didn't I? And it still determines specific solar and lunar events of the year. So
isn't
next
that
time
interesting?
I'm
right.
Yeah. In Boston visiting my friend Tasha, I'm gonna go up north and see
that
Stonehenge,
right.
USA.
I'm glad
so
Gary
call now 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org.
Just like seeing sites like that are so priceless, Wisconsin Public Radio is also one of those things that I believe goes in the priceless category because we bring you so many different guests, not just conversations that you can sit back and listen to, but you can call in and take part in the conversation and ask questions. Dial 1-800-383-9772 and support Wisconsin Public Radio because you know that it is important to you and priceless.
We have a lovely comment here from Abigail from Madison. I'm 23 and have grown up listening to public radio. This is the first time I will have pledged as a grown-up. I love
Aww.
It. Thanks for your programming. I hope that my kids will grow up to with public radio, too. And, you will if you
right.
pledge.
And
keep us going.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things that you want to pass along from generation to generation because the information that you get here is simply priceless. It's like taking several college courses in one day. Ranging.
Isn't it true?
Yes, it
I
is.
I know.
It is, and that's
amazing. And with instructors like Brian Fagan, you could sit in his class all day, couldn't
right.
you? He's so wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. Dial 1-800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org to make a pledge.
That's 800-383-9772 for a $180 pledge. We will send you Brian's book. You can travel all over the world, and you can also travel with people like Mark Twain from Stonehenge to Samarkand, an anthology of archaeological travel writing. And if we reach our goal, I hope we can. We're a little stalled right now.
We'll
10
minutes
it.
Left.
We will
Let's,
make it.
We'll hear those phones right. ringing off the hook. 10
right,
minutes,
right.
we are far from our goal. And if we don't make our goal of $6,000 that hour, we are going to lose out on that $500 challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore. So please don't let that happen. Go to your phones, 800-383-9772, and pledge today.
Make a pledge of $10 a month. Think about how often or even what you spend $10 on a day. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things that you want to invest your money in. You listen to other radio stations, possibly, or television, and you pay for what you're consuming, believe it or not, through the commercials that you hear. We don't do that to you here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We know every moment is valuable. Every moment of conversation counts, just like every dollar counts. Support Wisconsin Public Radio. Dial 1-800-383-9772 or visit WPR.org.
$180. We'll be very happy to send you Brian's book, but pledge at any amount and know that it is deeply appreciated so we can keep these conversations going. And, rest assured that he'll be with us again. Brian Fagan will be with us again.
Oh, he'll be back.
Yeah.
He's going to Stonehenge in October, right? He said to...
Right.
To have a look at the new findings and have a look at the tourist industry there.
Exactly.
So we'll definitely have him on, maybe even again before October.
Yeah.
So for all of you out there, maybe you haven't ever pledged Wisconsin Public Radio before, join Abigail today. You know, she's a first-time pledger, but she's been listening her whole life, grew up listening to public radio.
Mm-hmm.
So pick up those phones if you want to become a new member. Pledge today, this hour. Very important hour with our $6,000 goal and our $500 challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore. 800-383-9772 or go online at WPR.org.
And you said that Brian will be back, and that's what I love personally about Wisconsin Public Radio is it's not hard getting guests to come back and join us because they love being with the host and our listeners
mm-hmm.
that call in and join in the conversation. Dial 1-800-383-9772 to keep conversations like that going, to keep guests like Brian coming back to join us and enlighten us and share his journeys.
Yeah,
it's
and share his enthusiasm. You hear his descriptions of the storms gathering over the canyon, and your mind goes back 1,000 years, and it's just, it stays with you. Those conversations stay with you. He stays with you. He'll be back again. $180, we'll be so happy to send you his book, from Stonehenge to Samarkand and Anthony. anthology of archaeological travel writing, The Pledge Number, and you only have about 9 minutes this hour. 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. And where are we, everybody? 2,170. We need to move it. Move it.
Let's go. I don't know how many times I've heard the phrase, I didn't want the hour to end, come out of Kathleen's mouth, come out of the guest's mouth, come out of people who couldn't get in through the phone line, so they email, and, you know, they just want to keep these conversations going. Mm-hmm. And if you feel the same way, please call this hour. Help us make that $6,000 goal so we get that $500 challenge grant from Schwartz Bookstore. Exactly. And that phone number is 800-383-9772.
Have you ever found yourself like stopping and mopping the floor extra time, or
I've never mopped the floor extra time.
I've never mopped at all.
Your house is cleaner than mine, Rita.
Yes, because sometimes
you
get
come
so
over?
Well, you know what, Rhonda, I'm not, yeah, sure. Why not? As long as we can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh, it was an answer.
Yes, but we all find ourselves doing things like that, sitting in the car for an extra couple of minutes in the driveway, or you know, things along those lines, because we enjoy the conversations. We're pulled into the conversations here.
Right.
And I know that happens to you often. So dial 1-800-383-9772 or visit WPR.org. Renewing members and new members, you're both welcome.
$180 is what we're pushing this hour. If you can afford that, that's great. We'd love to send you this terrific book by Brian Fagan, considered the world's foremost living archaeological writer. He writes with a great flair, and he includes observations on visiting historical sites like Chaco Canyon or the Pyramids or the Parthenon, all of these places. It's a wonderful book about ancient architecture. So pledge if you can at that amount, and we would sure appreciate it. And we only have a few minutes left this hour. We're kind of stalled here, everybody. We need to move
pick
it along.
Pick up those phones.
Pick
I mean,
the
these
phones.
Are kinds of things that are fascinating. You know, before
right.
I became a librarian, I don't know if you know this, but I was an anthropologist. Not really practicing, but that was what I studied in school. But I mean, it just because it was fascinating.
Right.
You know, people love romanticizing the past, I guess, or kind of imagining how people lived before us. And this is just a great book. I mean, you could read from the people who have been there. You could hear from Brian Fagan. I mean, his voice comes out in this book. So call now at that $180 level, 800-383-9772.
Oftentimes we sit and we look back and say, oh, I wonder what it was like to be in Egypt during this time. Or, oh, I wonder how my grandparents lived and what it was like to enjoy some of the things that they enjoyed. Don't allow Wisconsin Public Radio to be one of those things that your children or grandchildren have to look back and say, oh, I wonder what those conversations must have been like. Dial 1-800-383-9772 to ensure that Wisconsin Public Radio will be here for the long run. Or you can visit WPR.org to make a pledge of any amount that you know that you can afford.
800-383-9772. Just a few minutes left this hour. We're so happy to give you this premium, this thank you gift for your pledge of $180 or more. Or if you can't pledge that, that's okay. I understand that because we don't all have a lot of money. 800-383-9772. We're close to $3,000. We can make it if you call in great numbers right now.
And like you were saying, Kathleen, it's up to you to decide how much you can afford. We
right.
don't say you have to pledge a certain
right.
amount of money. Whatever you can afford, it matters. We appreciate every single dollar that you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do so by dialing 1-800-383-9772 or visit WPR.org.
Every dollar pledged makes us a dollar closer to our goal this hour
exactly.
of $6,000. And without that, reaching that $6,000 goal, we are going
to
lose out on that challenge grant
from
Schwartz Bookstore for $500. So pledge now, $180. Thank you. I hear those phones going. That you could break that down to $15 a month, and that could be automatically withdrew from your checking account, or you could pay all at once or put it on a credit card. It's up to you. Call now. We have volunteers waiting and excited to take your call. 800-383-9772. Let's get those phones ringing. We're down about 4 minutes left. And remember, you can pledge throughout the news break, so keep those calls coming in or log on to WPR.org.
800-383-9772. Get the phones ringing, Rita.
Well, I'm sure that you will call. It's a matter of picking up the phone or going to your computer and making that pledge. Not waiting until tomorrow or putting it off until, oh, next week I'll do it. No, now is the time to make a pledge. We have a matter of minutes left, and it's important that we get this challenge
it
here
is,
from
right,
Shores.
Right.
Like we said, every dollar counts, and this is $500 challenge grant. Help us get this. Dial 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772.
If we get a whole flurry of phone calls right now, we ought to be able to make our goal worth $3,555 right now. You can call through the news and pledge 800-383-9772.
Yes, and I would like to thank everyone who did call this hour, but keep those calls coming in. We have a couple more minutes, and you can pledge throughout the break. We are really close to getting that challenge grant. Don't let us lose out on that $500 from Schwartz Bookstore. Pick up the phone, 800-383-9772, or log on to WPR.org.
And if you've pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio in the past, now is the time to renew your membership to Wisconsin Public Radio or become a member to Wisconsin Public Radio. Do not wait. Dial 1-800-383-9772.
Thank you both so much for being with us, and thanks for all of your calls, everybody. Remember, you can pledge through the news and receive a copy of Brian Fagan's wonderful book and hear his voice, and we'll hear his voice again. Rhonda Fanning, thank you. Rita Thomas, thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for your support. This is the Ideas Network.